Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Ever heard of native advertising? Well, you should. It's when newspapers or websites like the Globe and Mail, the New York Times, plant advertisements disguised as journalism right alongside real news articles. So it's getting harder and harder to distinguish between what's real and what's made up. Well, this week I'm looking at some movies that cross the line between fiction and reality. There's a comedy from the UK about actors who play themselves on a trip. One from Ireland about a musician who hides his real face, and a documentary about a bank robber who inspired a movie. Frank, directed by Leonard Abramson, based on a memoir by John Ronson. So John, played by Domhnall Gleeson, is a ginger-haired nerd in his 20s who still lives at home with his parents. He lives in a seaside English town and works at a boring desk job, but he imagined himself as a successful singer-songwriter and keyboardist. He spends his free time recording feeble, unfinished verses on his computer. He's of the Twitter generation and maybe can't think longer than 140 characters at a time. But one day, he witnesses an attempted suicide on a beach by an actual deranged musician, a keyboardist. And just because John's in the wrong place at the right time, he's asked to spontaneously take the guy's place. The show is a disaster. He's terrible. The band can't play. The performance generates an onstage fist fight. But John is mesmerized by the lead singer, Frank, played by Michael Fassbender. Frank is a charismatic man with huge blue eyes, neat black hair, and enigmatic features. He has a friendly, enthusiastic style that everyone likes, and he's everything John would want to be himself. The thing is, his features are enigmatic because they never change. His big blue eyes are entrancing because they are actually enormous. To tell you the truth, Frank wears a giant painted papier-mâché globe over his real head. What does his face look like? Nobody knows. He never takes it off and eats his food through a straw. Okay, so John is invited to join them in a cabin in the woods in Ireland to record an album. But he soon discovers this group is a weird bunch. Clara, played by Maggie Gyllenhaal, plays the theremin. And she looks like a smoldering heroin addict with her pale skin and art school hair. She's outright hostile to John. She thinks he's the Yoko Ono. It's going to ruin the group. The rest of them include a sneering Frenchman, a burnt-out American, and others who seemingly just come and go. Days turn into weeks, turn into months. They're broke. Will they ever finish this album? But without telling the others, John has posted clips on YouTube and he reports their daily progress on Twitter. Soon enough, they have a solid fan base out there without ever having performed outside the cabin. So newfound success draws them to South by Southwest in Texas. But will they have a hit? Will people adore them? Will they ever actually perform? And will Frank ever take off that fake head? Okay, Frank, the movie is great. Strange, quirky, funny. It's a new look at sex and fame and rock and roll. As Frank, Fassbender is a combination Jim Morrison and Mr. Dress-Up, with his music morphing into prog rock to silly electronic piano pop. Maggie Gyllenhaal is terrific as the brooding musician and love interest. And Gleeson, well, he's the newest Michael Cera. This is a great movie to watch. The Trip to Italy, directed by Michael Winterbottom. Steve Coogan is an English movie actor. He's at a slow point in his career, so he sets out with his traveling companion, Welsh comedian Rob Brydon, for a drive down the coast of Italy. You see, they've been hired to relax at exclusive resorts, putter around on yachts, and enjoy meals at three-star restaurants. All they have to do is comment on the experience. And along the way, they retrace the steps of the places visited centuries earlier by British poets and early tourists like Keats, Shelley, and Byron. Steve is divorced with a teenage son and considers himself a bit of a womanizer, while Rob is happily married with two small children who he talks to by phone every day, but who will pick up the most beautiful women for casual sex, or so they think. This is a sequel to an almost identical movie set in England a few years back. Okay, this sounds awful and boring as hell, right? No. No, it's absolutely hilarious. Basically, the two main actors play exaggerated fictional versions of themselves. While the rest of the cast, the photographer, tour guide, family members, etc., they're all actors cast in the roles. Okay, so aside from the gorgeous scenery, the delicious little cooking scenes, if you're a foodie, and this movie, what this movie's really about is two guys in a car singing along to songs from the 90s by Alanis Morissette. And they reenact entire scenes from The Godfather Part 2, another sequel, reciting every line of the voices of Robert De Niro or Al Pacino. They argue about who does the best James Bond, and they comment about people at the next table in a restaurant in Rome or amongst the ruins in Pompeii. Not every joke hits the mark. I'm at a loss when it comes to comments about, say, European sportscasters who I've never heard of. But there's a cumulative effect. All the jokes, comments, plays on words, puns, competitive imitations of Michael Caine. Each one builds on the one before until it's just wiped the tears out of your eyes hilarious. It's a particular style of English improvised spoken humor. No pratfalls, no racial jokes, no gross outs, no silly comments on those crazy foreigners in Italy, no stand-up comic humor that depends on the punchline. It's just two guys engaging in caustically funny conversations. It's just great. And finally, I want to recommend The Dog, a movie called The Dog, a great documentary by Alison Berg and Frank Carradine. It's the true story of folk hero John Wodowicz, a self-described pervert. John's the guy who robbed a bank and took hostages in Manhattan in the early 70s to pay for his girlfriend's sex change. They're soon surrounded by cops, and he entrances the crowd and the news media by talking to them, to his mom and to his wife, Carmen. It's one of the earliest TV As It Happens news stories with a twist and inspired Dog Day Afternoon, the movie. But his story is even wilder, encompassing his bisexuality, his early role in queer politics. This funny-looking guy is an amazing, absurd character filled with Brooklyn bravado. And his story is fantastic and well worth seeing. Frank, The Trip to Italy, and The Dog all open today in Toronto. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.